Joined now by Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Mike, right now the Broncos are off for the next couple weeks, and we know that guys are going to be training and doing their own thing, but do you get a sense of feeling where there could possibly be a wide receivers and tight ends and running backs all meeting up with these quarterbacks and just getting together to throw a couple times? Or we saw it with Peyton and having the pass academies, and typically these quarterbacks get together and throw to their guys. Well, the Broncos don't know who their guy is. So do you think it'll be like, hey, you know what, let's all meet up in Denver this week, 2 weeks before training camp, and let's get some throws. Let's work on our timing. Or do you think that these guys are gone until training camp?
Yes, first of all, I think everybody's taking a week or two off. I talked to Drew Locke, and he said he was going to take a week off, you know, to decompress and reset mentally. I think it is important that you do nothing for a week or two. And he's gonna do that, and then he's going to work. He's got a he's got a guy back in Kansas City that he works with, and passing on footwork and all those mechanics and all those kind of things. And then he's got his college and high school buddies that he throws to. He's going to do that for a couple weeks. And then, yes, about 2 weeks before training camp, he's going to come back here to Denver, and a couple guys are going to get together. And I'm not sure about Teddy. I'm not sure what his history is on such things, but he goes back to Miami. I know he just had a newborn. Him and his wife just had a newborn. So it might be something where, you know, he might come back a week early. And, you know, I'm not sure where he is on living accommodations either. You got to find some place to live. And I know he hasn't had too much time for that. So, I would say maybe a week or two early, but I don't see anybody, you know, going off to Duke University like Peyton did. Peyton had a special arrangement there with his college coach, and Eli did too. But I do think they'll get together a week or 10 days before training camp and start chucking it around a little bit.
Mike, we're still learning. We're still learning what Teddy Bridgewater's got, and we're still learning about Drew Locke. We don't know everything about those guys, but I think maybe more of a mystery is Pat Shurmur. And what he's thinking and how he's going to approach making this quarterback decision, because Teddy Bridgewater is such a different quarterback from Drew Locke. Teddy Bridgewater is the guy who's going to make the smart reads. He's going to see things before they happen. He's going to let the ball go before the guy comes out of his break. Drew Locke is the guy with the cannon arm, the guy who can make plays. He's the confident guy who's trying to learn those things that Teddy knows. But what do you think Pat Shurmur is going to put the most premium on when he decides who's going to be the starting quarterback?
Yes, I think, to me, it looks like things. So in listening to what Pat Shurmur said on the last day of minicamp, which turned out to be Wednesday, it almost seemed to me like he was saying that Teddy's going to be the guy, because he said two things. There was hard data, completions, incompletions, touchdowns, interceptions, yards, that type of thing. And in the 5 viewing sessions that we had, it was a little hard because we only saw, 3 11-on-11 type things. I'm not sure you should keep stats on 7-on-7.
Yeah, Mike, are they talking about hard data from practice?
Yeah, data from practice. And we're talking 11-on-11. What we saw there, Teddy was maybe has slightly better numbers than Drew Locke. But also he was talking about who would make the least mistakes, the least catastrophic mistakes. And when he said that, I mean, Teddy makes less mistakes than Drew Locke does. At least he has in what we saw. Again, we only saw 5 of the 12 practices, the OTAs and minicamp, and three of the 5 11-on-11s. So, we don't have all the data, but what we saw in the media, it seemed like Teddy had a little bit of an edge there. So we'll see. You know, I think you're going to wind up guys with, if they don't get Aaron Rodgers, And I'm just telling people, don't give up on that yet. But if they don't get Aaron Rodgers, then I think you're going to wind up with both quarterbacks getting their share of starts this year somehow, some way. Yeah. But right now I'd bet on Teddy starting the season based on what I've seen.
Mike, you wrote a piece that says, to stay number one, Drew Lock knows he must play well on days when he's number two. How do you accomplish that, Mike? Because you don't get Cortland Sutton on those days. You don't get you're not going to have Noah Fant. You don't get Jerry Jeudy. You don't get KJ Hamler. You might get a little Tim Patrick that day, but you typically don't get the guys that you feel the most comfortable with. So if you're a guy like Drew Lock, where now those days that you're number two, you're getting a lot of guys where you've never worked with. And we saw last year, Drew at times didn't even look like he was in sync with guys like Jerry Jeudy, these guys that were clear bona fide starters from day one. So how is he now supposed to pick it up on days when he's number two and throwing to guys that he's never thrown to before, Mike?
Yeah, and Locke said that's the biggest mental adjustment he's had to be being in a true competition are the days when he's with the second string. And not only that, but last week, you know, and something that I think, you know, we should have taken into a little bit of account. When Drew won Monday, we all said he won Monday. Well, he was with the number one offense going against the number two defense. And with all due respect to Derek Tuska, there's a difference between Tuska and Von Miller coming on the pass rush.
Yeah.
And you know, that secondary, Justin Simmons, you know, when you're the number two sometimes on those days, not only you know, Kyle Markway was a tryout tight end, and Drew Lock hit him in the numbers on the, or hit him in the hands on in the red zone workout, and Markway dropped the ball. It's tough. I mean, to me, those days are rigged.
Yeah.
The number one quarter, who's ever running the number one, should have the better day.
Yeah.
And that's the way it worked out last week. Lock had the better day on Monday when he was with the number ones against the twos. And Bridgewater was the best quarterback on Wednesday when he was the number one going against the twos. So
has that been a trend, Mike, out there where the one offense is going against the two defense and the one defense is going against the two offense?
No. Sometimes that's the way it was this last week. The week before, I believe it was one on ones and then two on twos.
Okay.
So you know, they mix it up. They mix it up on that. In that regard. But yeah, it's Locke said that's been the most difficult thing of the competition when he's with the twos, you know, and he's really for the last year and a half, almost 2 years, had been working with the Dalton Reisners and the you know, Garrett Bowles and Noah Fant and you know, Tim Patrick. Cortland didn't run with the number ones. I never saw him run team during the OTAs and minicamp. Apparently he will during training camp right off the bat. So that's where he is in his comeback, which would make sense because he got hurt, week two of the season. So mid-September, about September 20th, and he should be ready to go by August. That would be 11 months out. He'll be in good shape. But, you know, how you do it, I guess – what I would do if I was with the number twos those days, I would just look to not force things. I'd look to, you know, check down more often, make quicker reads, get rid of the ball.
Check down
quickly.
Practice, Mike. Come on. You got to take your shots. You don't get reprimanded
for going deep in practice.
Well, I mean, look, the coaches know. They understand.
Exactly.
They understand the nuance of what you're talking about and how the deck can be stacked. And I think that's why they said 3-4% is how valuable this is in the mini camps are in going into evaluating these guys. Preseason games and to me, training camp, you know, move the ball periods where they're actually commanding the offense is when these guys are going to show who they really are. But let's talk a little bit really quick. I know we only have a couple minutes, about these corners and what you saw from them out there, because we got Pat Surtain as the first pick in the draft, and by all accounts, one of the best players in the draft, and is not penciled in as a starter right now. What did you see out of him and the other corners out there during minicamp, and who do you think is going to get the nod in week one?
Yeah, Surtain looks good. Jeudy beat him on in the red zone on in the Teddy. Teddy threw it to Jeudy, who got quite a bit of separation for Surtain.
What was the route? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was to me, it was like a flag. It looked like a sideline on the web, but it was more of a flag route. Eight yard touchdown, and he had quite a bit of separation there. So he'll make mistakes, but he is, you know, for big, fluid, all those things that, you know, everyone says that they've never quite seen someone move like him with all his physical measurements and, with just the way he turns and moves and all those kind of things. I'm no expert at that kind of thing, but everyone raves that he's going to be the real deal. He'll be, if not a Pro Bowler this year, he should be a Pro Bowler the next 3 years is what they're saying about Pat Surtain. And then Fuller and Darby, we only really saw them together, I think, one time this week. Maybe it was, I guess, the two practices. And Callahan was the nickel. And then you had Kareem and Justin Simmons backing them up. But, that's an excellent group. I saw, you know, we're talking about twos versus one. Warren Jackson is an undrafted rookie, and he was lined up against Darby, and the poor guy could not get off the line of scrimmage. I mean, he was locked up. He got about 5 yards down past the line of scrimmage. He just could not. He just couldn't get off him. So there's a big difference there. Darby, Fuller. They're overmatching the number two receivers. And then Callahan, he looks healthy. He looks good. It'd be interesting to see if they pay him. He's making 7.2 on, you know, they got four corners guys making between 7.2 and 12.7. That's a lot of money budgeted in a year when the payroll has been cut by about 8%. So be interesting to see if they keep Callahan at the 7.2. I don't know how they're going to shake it out. The way we saw it right now is that Surtain was the number four cornerback, which is how it should be as a rookie and how it often is for rookies in OTAs and minicamp. We'll see about a week into training camp exactly how Vic Fangio is going to line them up.
Our thanks, Mike. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Mike.
You got it, guys.
It's Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. This Broncos secondary has been rebuilt, but arguably their best player is on a 1-year deal. What should we expect from that 1-year mercenary? That's next.